handling parenting emotions. There are so many feelings that happen during each parenting day, and certainly over the course of 20 or 30 or 40 parenting years. Feelings of pride, love, pleasure, joy, all sorts of wonderful, wonderful feelings, which we normally experience when the children are sleeping. When they're awake, it's a different story. Actually, some of these happy feelings occur when they're awake as well. Toddlers make us so happy and we laugh. And our older kids also sometimes with their tremendous sense of humor, they're just, you know, fun to be around. Sometimes with an adolescent, we feel a closeness and an understanding. Of course, there are other feelings that come along with adolescence as well. But I just want to highlight that there are many positive emotions in parenting. And I want to highlight that because today we're going to look at the negative emotions that also accompany the parenting journey and that are just normal, just along for the ride that each of us will experience in some measure at various times. For example, there's a common parental experience of worry. The things that our children do just cause us worry, or the way that our children are can cause us worry. For example, a child who has some school academic issues can cause his parents to worry about his future. Or a child who has social issues, maybe trouble making friends or the wrong kind of friends or whatever, can also cause a parent to worry about what's going to be and whether the child will be happy or satisfied in life. And, of course, when children are getting near the end of their childhood journey in the home, when they're in their late teens, if everything is great and they're moving on doing what they're supposed to be doing, the parents feel happy and calm and so on. But if the child is not quite fitting into the mold, is not doing what his or her peers are doing at that stage, the parents can worry. There's just a lot of worry. What's going to be? How is the child going to get on to the adult track, to move on to the next stage, get the right marriage partner, set up a home, start a career, and all of those things? While many children just do smoothly move from one stage to the next, many others have little blockages or big blockages and challenges before them. So worry is a common parental emotion. Sometimes when the situation is more urgent, something's happening, parents can experience panic. So a child is supposed to be home or, you know, at a certain hour and the child hasn't called but is late, half an hour late, an hour late, 2 hours late. The child can't be found. You thought the little one was playing in the house. When you go to look around, you can't find the child. We often experience panic. Panic is a really strong, intense state of fear that is known to most parents, whether it's because the child is late or missing, or whether it's because the child is not feeling well and has strange or disturbing or frightening physical symptoms or emotional symptoms. If something is acute and acutely wrong, the parents can experience panic. There are feelings of that parents have, and very common to women in particular, of overwhelm. Just too much to handle, too much to do, too much to cope with, too much on our plate. This can be because we're working a day job or a part-time day job and we're running a household and we actually have tremendous numbers of responsibilities, not just to our children, but sometimes to our parents, to our job, to our social responsibilities, community responsibilities. It just doesn't all fit in one day. Or the task is too hard. A state of overwhelm can be induced because there's just too much involved in the task. There's too many tasks or too much involved in a task. Or the task is actually beyond our capacity to manage. It's just too hard. We don't know the answers. Very often people have a child who doesn't fit into the system. There's no little matching box for this kid, and or he's out of the box, let's say, so that there isn't a school that meets the child's needs, or that meets the child's needs adequately enough. It may have the right academic program, but not the right social milieu, or not the right religious background, or something's just not fitting. And the parents are at a loss to guide the child in what seems to be the best way. The best way doesn't exist, and that can cause a state of overwhelm. Parents have feelings of helplessness that may be related to challenges like the one I just mentioned, but also we can feel helpless just to get our kids off the computer, to get them, you know, into their beds, or to get them to stop calling each other names, or to get them to talk to us in a polite manner. We can feel helpless all day long in our parenting just because our children are people, and they have their own free will and their own minds, and they don't just fall into line. They don't automatically do what we want them to do. So regular routine helplessness is common as a feeling. But then there are bigger issues, not just non-compliance, but we're helpless to ensure that a child, let's say, really takes his own life seriously. So we can have a child who is not particularly motivated to, he's maybe capable, but he's not interested in his academic requirements, and he just doesn't pay much attention. He doesn't do his homework, he doesn't study, he doesn't apply himself. The teachers say so every single year, and the child just doesn't perform, but for no obvious reason. He's got what it takes, but the parent is helpless to get the child to be more mature, more responsible. Or the parent is helpless to get the child to just, you know, behave or accept the values that the parent has been teaching and imparting. And we can feel like, well, here's a kid, perfectly nice kid on the surface, and being raised in a nice home with very nice Jewish values, and yet the child has just been arrested for shoplifting. And the parents, well, I mean, this is quite common, actually, in adolescence. And then the parents feel helpless. Like, what did we do wrong? What can we do? If our child is going to engage in an illegal, immoral, you know, downright wrong behavior, after all we've tried to impart and tried to give him, you know, what else can we do? So helplessness can happen on many different kinds of levels. When a child is not up to snuff, like just not doing what you expect him or her to be doing at that particular stage, parents often take it very personally, and they can feel personally inadequate. Although actually it's the child who might be inadequate, the parent accepts this inadequacy. It's my fault. Okay, they might feel inadequate, they might feel guilty. You know, if I was a better parent, if I never yelled at my kid, well, then maybe she wouldn't have anorexia right now, or maybe she wouldn't have these panic attacks that she experiences, or anxiety, or maybe she'd just be a lot higher functioning if I was a better parent. It's my fault, because I'm not perfect. So the parents can feel guilt, inadequacy, pain, remorse, shame, you know, especially if a child is publicly not doing well, so that it's not just in the home, but the teachers know, or the rabbi knows, or other people on the street know, or it's just obvious because the kid is just not doing well. Now, usually when a child is not doing well, it's not just the parent's fault, you know, the child has his or her own genetic makeup, and his or her own free will, and many environmental pressures apart from the parent, such as the other parent, and also extended family and community and teachers and peer group and all the neighbors and the whole world around. So there's many factors impacting on the parent, but somehow parents, and again often mothers, take it all upon themselves and feel it's because of me that this child is not doing well right now. So we combine that feeling with the worry that the child won't do well in the future, and then we have a lot of sadness, grief, depression, you know, a lot of just lots of feelings. Or sometimes we get mad at the child, like, why aren't you doing well after all I've given to you, and after all I do for you, and after all my input and everything, why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And we can feel rage or anger, resentment, all kinds of angry, upset feelings. The whole range of emotional whatever, I'm trying to think of the word here, but let's say this, the whole range of emotions, we'll put it that way, is available to parents during the parenting journey. So we have the happy feelings, we have the sad feelings, we have the angry feelings, we have the scared feelings, and we have the confused feelings. That last category you know, is also very common. We just don't know what to do with a child. We don't know how to make something better. We don't even know what's wrong, or we don't know how to go about fixing it. There's a lot of confusion, sometimes tied to that helplessness, but sometimes not, just the feeling of uncertainty. So those are the five main categories of human emotions: happy, sad, mad, scared, and confused. And we have them all. Now notice that four of those categories are not happy ones, okay? We're troubled in those last four categories. There's only one category that we like to be in, and that's the happy one, where we feel proud and content and relaxed and optimistic and all those great feelings, excited and joyous. You know, maybe on our child's wedding day, you know, we have that whole batch of feelings. Hopefully we have it on the wedding day. But the other four categories, that's where we live a lot of the time. And the Torah tells us that negative emotions are harmful for us. Now, of the five emotional categories, four are not comfortable emotions. Four have a slightly negative or sometimes intensely negative quality. And those emotions can not only distress us, the fact that we're feeling that way, you know, is not happy by itself, but they can also weaken us. They can weaken us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, meaning that when we indulge in them enough, you know, I don't mean like that we select them, but when we find ourselves spending a lot of time in the negative emotions, eventually they can pile up so that we feel just down, like overall down, miserable, depressed, unhappy, so that, you know, a pile up of negative stress that has not been released or not been processed or not been properly attended to, leads to more stress, more emotional dysfunction. Or it can lead to spiritual dysfunction. We just get so discouraged that we don't even believe God can help us anymore. We just believe we're on our own and there's no solutions, and we get despairing. And that is not good for us on any level. It's not good emotionally, but obviously it can impair our spiritual side and just, you know, set us back there. Physically, negative emotions are known to make us sick. First, they penetrate our vulnerable physical systems, so that each one of us has a system that we're born with that is a little bit weaker. So some of us, let's say, are headache people, so that when we feel emotional upset, we may get a headache. Or some of us are stomach people, so that when we feel emotional upset, we have all sorts of gastric and intestinal and stomach problems. Some of us are weak back people, so our back goes out, you know, or we can have low immune systems, so we come down with strep throat or the flu or eventually, heaven forbid, you know, diseases and so forth. You know, some of us, our weakness is actually in the emotional system, so that when we feel stressed, we are prone to depression, or we're prone to anxiety or a mixture thereof, or our symptoms of whatever disorder we actually have intensify. So if we do suffer from a little bit of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, let's say the symptoms become much more intense when we don't process our emotions, or our tic disorder acts up, or you know, whatever ails us gets worse, let's put it that way. So when we don't take care of our negative emotions, it is not good. Shall we summarize it like that? And I want to talk to you today about a little technique that takes maybe 3 minutes, sometimes we could spend 5 minutes on it, but not much longer, that can clear and rapidly process our negative feelings. And the benefit of this is that those feelings will not get stuck inside of our bodies. They will not get stuck inside of our minds and our hearts, where they can do damage. And not to mention, by the way, I mean, I'm talking about our own suffering if we have negative emotions, but obviously in parenting, when we carry around a lot of negative emotions, they're sitting there like too close to the surface, just waiting to be triggered. So it's as if we're living too close to the edge. And a child who does something that isn't desirable, doesn't make us happy, can just throw us right off the edge, because the whole pileup of emotions that have not been processed are sitting right there. So we get too upset, too wound up, too hurt, too disturbed to actually parent properly. And let's say I'll give you an example of a child who is supposed to call home. We talked about that before, and we've been through it before with the child many times. You know, if you're going somewhere, then you need to call me. If we've agreed that you'll be home at 10 o'clock and you're going to be late, then you need to call me, and so on. And let's say for the millionth time, the child doesn't call. And the parents are worried again and upset again. Now, when the child finally shows up, if the parent just lets the emotion guide the intervention, then perhaps, you know, the parent will start screaming when the kid finally comes in the door, which will provide some emotional release for the parent. But it's called emotional and verbal abuse for the child. Okay, when I release my emotions on somebody, I may feel better because now I got it all out. But I got it all out by dumping it right onto somebody else. And these words are actually reflected in the movement of energy between people. So I feel better because I've moved my negative energy like a volcano kind of up and out of my system. But it lands somewhere. It actually lands somewhere. And the person it lands on is destroyed by the negative energy. They're wrecked by it. They're totaled. You know, it's not good. And they are receiving verbal and emotional abuse. In parenting, that has disastrous effects. So we need to learn a little technique where we can clear our emotions safely, and then because our emotions are settled, we can use our brains to figure out what practical solutions we want to use for the parenting dilemma. In other words, using emotion to solve parenting dilemmas is a very poor idea. Emotion doesn't work. We need to use our intellect, our head, to come up with a parenting plan, a parenting intervention. But when the emotions are bubbling over, they heat up the system a little bit too much. You know, it's all clogged up, and we can't even think straight. In order to think straight, we have to have what they call a cool head. And a cool head only happens when we have a cool heart. So back to our little technique. The technique is called WHE, and it's spelled W-H-E-E. It stands for one of two things. It can either stand for holistic hybrid of EMDR and EFT. Now, EMDR and EFT are two therapeutic techniques used in professional mental health settings to help people rapidly process their emotions. They require a therapist. Mind you, a person can learn EFT by him or herself, but which stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. But this holistic hybrid of EMDR and EFT is also called Holistic Healing Easily and Effectively. That's the other name for it, just so that we don't have to get too technical with what it's doing. And it's a technique that uses bilateral stimulation, which means simply that it uses two sides of the body, which affects two sides of the brain. And our brains have a conscious and an unconscious component. It has a left brain and a right brain. Lately, researchers are beginning to think that the subconscious or unconscious mind is actually stored in the right hemisphere of the brain, and the conscious, logical, problem-solving mind is stored in the left hemisphere. But, you know, we'll see what science tells us. What we know just experientially is that when we provide left-right stimulation, that emotions quickly dissolve or settle or resolve, and that we feel better. And even deep, disturbing emotions, like serious trauma. Let's say we were in a bad car accident. You know, we can't even get in a car and drive again because we're so traumatized. Or soldiers who fought and saw people die in front of them. Or people who've suffered severe injuries or loss, who watched somebody die or lost a loved one and they can't resolve the pain. Or who had terrible things happen to them personally, like, you know, traumatic things being... When I say traumatic, I mean like the overwhelming traumas and the small traumas. They call them big T and little T traumas. So big T traumas are being caught up in that tsunami and watching people around you drowning and not knowing whether your family is alive or not. That's a big T trauma. And a little T trauma is giving a presentation at work or for a teenager giving a presentation in front of the class at school and having it not go well and feeling mortified. Maybe you forgot some important section and just couldn't carry on. So a public speaking trauma is not the same as being in the tsunami, but it can be very traumatizing. Maybe I'll never speak again, having had that terrible experience. I mean, speak publicly, you know. So there's all kinds of things that, until recently, really weren't all that responsive to psychotherapeutic interventions. And when I say until recently, I mean that these new bilateral stimulation techniques or meridian-based techniques, they actually somehow work to take the trauma out of the mind and out of the cells of the body, seemingly, out of the heart, out of everywhere, sometimes just in minutes. So certainly we parents can use this technique to help us rapidly process our upset, our fear, our sadness, and all the other emotions. Now, I invite you to look we up on the internet, where you'll find the psychiatrist, Dr. Danielle Benor, who has developed this particular adaptation of the technique. Well, he's developed we, okay, which is one of the new, we'll just call it new techniques, okay, in psychotherapy. And you can read all about it there. He gives you a lot of information, but I'm going to give you a quick summary of how we use this technique. We're going to make a sentence, and the sentence has four parts. The first part starts off like this: even though. Okay, that's the first part of it. There's those two words, even though. The second part of it goes like this: blah, 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 which I mean, even though, and I'm going to now describe my problem in detail. When I go blah, 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 I mean I'm going to name whatever problem is bothering me, even though I'm worried about my son's academic performance, or even though I'm losing sleep because my daughter's dating experience is going so poorly, or even though I'm so upset because of what my boss said to me today, or even though there's just too much to do and I can't stand doing it, I hate my life and nobody appreciates me anyways, and so on. Okay, so those are the first two parts: even though, blah, 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 blah. Okay. The third part is some positive statement about myself, some positive, true statement about myself. I'm going to give you examples of what people might choose. They might say, I know that I try really hard. Or they might say, I know that I do my best to help people. Or they might say, I know that I'm a good person. Or I know that I deserve good things in my life. Or I know that I'm smart and creative. Or I know that I've been very, very strong, or that I have strength in my life. It could be anything, really, any true statement about yourself. When I say true, it has to feel true to you, okay? So far, the first three parts might sound like this: even though I cannot get these kids into bed, and I'm exhausted, and it's driving me crazy, and I'm so mad I could blow a gasket, I know that I'm basically a good mother. Okay, let's say so. That's the first three parts. Now, the fourth part is to bring in a mention of God, or let's say to name Hashem in some positive way that, again, feels true and feels right for you. So some people might say, I know that Hashem is with me. Or I know that Hashem is helping me to accomplish my goals. Or I know that Hashem will help me to accomplish my goals. Or I know that Hashem loves me and accepts me as I am. Okay, those are some examples. So the whole four-part sentence could sound like this. Even though I'm really worried about my husband's job, and I don't know what's going to be if he loses that job, and I can't even think about the future, and it makes me so panicky and so upset, and I just can't even sleep at night. I know that I have strength that I've used in my life, and I know that Hashem will help us through whatever we have to face. Okay? So that's how that sentence might sound. So we've got the four parts. We think of whatever our problem is, and we might take a moment to rate the intensity of that problem between 0 and 10, just so that we have some numbers to guide us through the process. So 10 is like, I feel really, really upset about this, and 0 is all the feeling is gone. Okay, I don't have any feeling left. So I might at the beginning give myself a number, And I'm going to think about the statement that I'm going to make. So I'm just going to have the statement in mind, even though blah, 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 blah. I have these good traits, and Hashem is going to help me in this way. Okay, so I've got that in mind. Now for the bilateral stimulation, and this is the most important part of the treatment, because just saying that statement won't do much, okay? However, when you're tapping on the left side of your body, the right side, left side, right side, left side, right side, back and forth, then, while you're saying that statement, then things begin to happen, okay? So the tapping can be done in any ways. It can be done when you're sitting down. You can just tap your feet on the floor, tap your left foot, the right foot, the right foot, left foot, right foot, just tapping on the floor, or curling your toes up, okay? Or you can have your hands on your lap, and you're tapping on your left knee, your right knee, your left knee, your right knee, your left knee, your right knee. Or in a public place, you can have your mouth closed, and your tongue just moving back and forth across to your right teeth, your left teeth, your right teeth, your left teeth, okay, inside of your mouth. Or you can fold your arms across your chest in what's called the butterfly position, and this last one is actually my favorite. Your arms are folded across. We might call this the Indian chief position also, so that your right hand is on your left upper arm, and your left hand is on your right upper arm. So they're folded across your chest that way. And you're tapping with your right hand, and then your left hand, and then your right hand, and then your left hand. So fairly rapidly. So it goes right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. So you're tapping, your eyes are closed, and you're saying, even though I am furious at her for lying to me when she said that she was going to her friend's house, and then she went somewhere else, and she had the nerve to make this up and to not trust me and to not be honest with me and to not be straightforward with me. After all that I do for this child, I am so furious. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Still, I know that I am a good parent and that Hashem is helping me and her and all of us to get through everything that we need to get through. And when we keep tapping for a few seconds after we've said this, maybe for another 10, 20 seconds, while we're thinking about that statement, and then we put our hands down on our lap, keep our eyes closed, and just take a deep breath in and out. Then we just let the energies sort of settle. Just let ourselves get calm. The energies around us will just settle down, and we notice what we're thinking now, what we're feeling physically and emotionally, what number we are between 0 and 10 on our upset. And if there's any new thought that comes in, we just start tapping again and saying the new thought. So let's say on this particular issue, even though she's always doing things like this to me, even though, you know, no matter what I do for this child, she doesn't pay me back with good. She always gives me trouble. It's been going on forever, and I'm getting so tired of it. Still, I know that I'm a good parent and that Hashem will help me get through this. And then tap, 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 tap while I'm thinking about this. And then put my arms down, take a deep breath in and out, and just notice again at the end of that, what am I thinking and feeling now? And just keep doing as many rounds as I need to do until I feel actually completely calm, completely at a zero. At the end of each round, I just sort of check in, what number am I at with the original problem? Because the original problem may be pretty far behind as the mind wanders and picks up all the things that I'm, you know, because the next round might be, and no matter what I do for anybody in this family, nobody ever appreciates me, and, you know, I just feel like a complete failure. I've never accomplished anything. It really depends, because this technique can take us into a trip into our baggage, into our life baggage, into all of our deep feelings of inadequacy or fear or loss or grief, the things that we never processed from before, which is great, okay? If it, like, let it take you back down memory lane. In fact, you can help it take you back down memory lane by, when you're saying your blah, 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 blah part, put in whatever it reminds you of, not just today's problem, but, you know, actually take yourself there and go, and this reminds me of how I felt at home, you know, with my own parents when they never trusted me and blah, 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 you know, or this reminds me of all that failure I had in high school, and, you know, let it just bundle it all together and put it there. But if you read the instructions by Dr. Benor on the site, on his website, which is holistichealingresearch.com, and the holistic is spelled with a W, so it's W-H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, healingresearch.com, Dr. Daniel Benor, and the technique is called WE. This WE technique will take all the emotional stress out of your body and mind, and you will feel calmer and happier than probably you've ever felt before. It's a fantastic technique and should be available to all parents everywhere, because we'll certainly do a lot better job of parenting and we'll be a lot healthier and happier as we go through our parenting journey. So try it out and see how it works for you.